building all the capabilities, building all your hopes and dreams and all the possibilities. It ain't rocket surgery, but maybe it is. Come on down, I'm gonna sit around. I'm gonna get into your business. Get into your business. Get into your business.
Welcome to the Small Business Miracles Podcast. I'm Jeff Randolph. This Small Business Podcast is brought to you by EAG Advertising and Marketing. We're going to talk about marketing. We're also here to celebrate entrepreneurs. We have marketing news and advice that business owners can use to keep moving forward. This week, we sit down with Taylor Roberts. She's the owner and founder of Kai Strategic Media. But first, got another small business marketing tip to talk about.
Get into your business.
For our tip today, should you buy your own company name in your pay-per-click search advertising? Well, here's the easy answer for no. Look, if they're searching for you by name, you're going to show up. They're looking for you. They're not looking for a competitor. They're going to click on your link. They intend to go to your website. Don't spend money helping them get there. Give them some credit. They'll be just fine on their own. Your money is better spent getting people who don't already know you to your website. Okay, now having said that, there are some times we've run into where buying your own name in search marketing is exactly what needs to be done. Here are a few of those times. Is your brand name a common name that appears in a lot of other industries? Let's say my brand name is Acme. So, of course, I'm selling supplies to coyotes trying to capture a roadrunner. In that case, I may go ahead and bid on Acme as a brand name to make sure I come up in the search results and not the Acme Elevator Company or Acme Electronics. Or are you in a very competitive landscape and you want to make sure competitors aren't the first search result? Because those competitors are also bidding on your name, so they come up first. Either way, your brand name may not cost much to bid on, so you could decide to go either way. But if your marketing budget is more limited, every dollar counts. Is bidding on your own name right for you? Your results may vary, but we could sure talk about it. That's our marketing tip.
Get into your business.
Welcome back to the show. I am here with Taylor Roberts. She is the owner and founder of Kai Strategic Media. Taylor, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. We just had a great conversation about breakfast foods and avocado toast and all kinds of fun things. The secret, apparently, is sriracha honey.
Yes.
Sriracha honey.
Delicious.
Big fan. Let's get into it. Let's talk about what you do at Kai Strategic Media. Tell us all about the company.
Yeah. So I've been doing it for about 3 years-ish now, social media, content creation specifically. I kind of focus on funny, engaging content, entertaining. I do education too, but I would say that jokes are probably my biggest thing.
You've got the jokes.
Yeah, I've got the jokes. So going viral. I think most of my clients now that I have currently, maybe not back when I first started social media, but now most of them have gone viral, have had viral moments. So just creating good content is really what
social
I'm
media
about.
Content.
Yeah.
And do we, I'm going to ask a bunch of questions here.
Go
like
for it.
any kind of, let's say on every platform in social media or just certain platforms? Do you focus based on client? How do you
definitely
choose?
Definitely focus based on client and audience base. Cause obviously not every audience is going to be on every platform. I would say majority now, especially with TikTok kind of on the edge, really not knowing what's going on with that. We haven't really focused on that right now because I don't want to spend marketing dollars on something that might be a dead end, you know?
Right. Why is?
So right now, Instagram Reels is probably one of the biggest ones I think everyone should be on. Facebook is a hit or miss, you know, depending on what age group your demographic is in or where you're trying to hit. And then Pinterest, I mean, those are very specific kind of businesses. So like I said, it's just going to be very dependent on what client I have and what audience they're looking to target, you know. LinkedIn obviously is great. I think no matter what, every company should be on there, even just a little bit, you know, doing anything they can on there. Maybe not like funny content.
Right.
But no. I know right now it's funny content on there actually is gaining traction, you know, right now. So
On LinkedIn.
Yeah. So I think they're trying to change their platform. They've changed the sizing. So now you can post typically like what you would use sizing for a reel on Instagram. You can now post on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So
we could go back and forth for days.
Yeah,
probably.
They're adjusting to that.
Why would you do it this way?
Exactly.
Why do you only allow this?
Yeah.
Why can't you post a video and a picture
for
at
real.
The same time?
Yeah.
Like, little things.
They're catching up, so they're just like, okay, maybe we should actually like let people take control of content more on there. So I think it's definitely opening a box there, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me about the kinds of clients that you have. Are they all in one industry, or do you, you know, source from everywhere?
Yeah. So I mean, I accept every kind of client in any industries, but my main focus is home building, any blue collar work, construction. Those are going to be my bread and butter. That's just what I love to work with. I love home building, project based, like. That's who I want to work with specifically, but I have like restaurants, a butcher shop.
Oh, fun.
So different things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and have you had clients where you've walked away and said, hey, social media isn't for you, or is there some kind of play in social media for literally everyone out there?
There definitely is. I think everyone can get on social media. It's just, what is their goals? What are they looking for? Because if you're really looking for high ROI and you need money, you need cash injection right now. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say spend your money on social media. You know, I'd say you probably need to go towards paid or getting a funnel built out or having the basics that you need. Because if you're getting on social media and then you have a traffic coming, where is it going if you have no system set up?
Right,
you know?
Right.
Or maybe you haven't yet done that outreach to where you have kind of a stream of clients that you know you want to base your content off. Like if you don't know your audience and you're just saying, well, everyone's my audience, you're not ready for social media, you know?
Right, right. Or we're not focused enough
right.
to really understand what should be getting out of social and understanding that.
Exactly. Because I need them to know at least a basis, you know, of their business versus mm-hmm. coming to me and then having me know, you know, pretty much dive into everything and then make them that for them. I can't tell them what their business is and what it's doing and what goals it needs to do, mm-hmm. you know? So I need them to have that down before they come.
Yeah, and helping them understand, I don't know, even the difference between paid social and organic social
right.
that you do, right?
Yeah.
So there is a time and a place for paid. There is
yep.
a time and a place for organic. You can definitely have both of them working together.
Right.
You work primarily in the organic space, though,
yes.
not the paid space.
Not the paid, yeah.
When you're talking to a client and you're saying, hey, I know you wanted to do this. When do you recommend, hey, this needs to be a paid strategy? It's this immediate sales or what?
It typically is in the first call. I can definitely tell, like, maybe they thought that's what, like, they think social media is the sales, mm-hmm. you know, process, or they think, like, ads, which, I mean, yes, it is. You know, you can do ads on social media. That's probably what you're going to do, or Google or things like that. But in the first call, I get that out of the way. I don't want them to pay me and then not get what they need out mm-hmm. of it. I'd rather them go pay someone else $1,000, get the ROI, and then now they have the cash injection that they can do to do social media, mm-hmm. and that is just, like, gasoline, you know, like,
right.
to the flame that they already have going. So definitely in the first sales call, I will tell them, like, hey, this is exactly what you need to do. You need either a sales manager or you need like a lead strategist, whatever mm-hmm. they're looking for, you know. Do these things first and then come back to me in like 6 months.
I love that you're realistic with clients about,
yeah.
you know, here's what organic social will do for you.
Yeah.
We did a video at some point that's on our website, YouTube, and everywhere else.
Yeah.
I always look at it because I will play this in presentations that I'm doing every once in a while, and I'm like, man, at least I'm not wearing the same shirt that I am in this video, because that happens, and it's frightening. But a chart in the background of just like, hey, here's the reach that you're getting with paid, and then
yeah.
when it goes to organic, that reach just drops like crazy,
yeah.
right? And I don't know that every business owner gets that, and
right.
to know that the reach
it's
isn't
a slow
there.
Burn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like they see these stories, I guess, you know, that are being highlighted where these people were grinding, they were doing mm-hmm. content every day, and then now they're like millionaires, they're doing all these things. But how many years were they doing organic content? How many months were they broke where they couldn't do anything? Like
mm-hmm.
they were just barely making it, you know? And it's like, do you want to go through that, or do you want to just use the money that you maybe are cash flowing a little bit to do paid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think organic has the opportunity to outperform paid
mm-hmm.
if it's done well and if it's done over a long period of time.
But
it's the time commitment. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. if you're like, I have the cash and I have the time,
yeah,
well then do it, because you could probably like 10x, you know, your numbers, but it's because you have those business systems set up. It's because you have those things already mm-hmm. in place where that can just add on top of it, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I want to ask a question about kind of your the businesses that you work with, because you've got professional services like the building community and, right. and construction and stuff, home services, but then you also have restaurants.
Right.
It's there's that interesting mix of, why do I want to follow the you know, construction company right. on any social media versus the restaurant? Well, yeah, tell me everything that's going on. Do you have specials? Is there a new menu item? Do you have new drinks out? You know, is there a dirty soda I can get?
Yeah.
What, any of those things, right? It's easy for me to follow, but talk just a little bit about that, you know, the B2B side of things, yeah. where why would I follow my HVAC company, you
right.
know?
Exactly. So I always say there's definitely two types of content that you can produce, and this will attract, I guess, a different type of audience. So if you're, depending on your goals, if you want to attract employment, like, you know, maybe you're posting jobs and you want better employees to work at your company, then you're going to have to post content that's maybe more educational about your company, mm-hmm. your business. What are you doing? What are things that, you know, I think we had a video that we ordered Jimmy John's to the site and then fed everybody mm-hmm. and we tagged Jimmy John's, and then they comment on it and like reposted it. And so that shows that you care about your people,
yeah.
and that's going to gain attraction from when you are posting those jobs, and then they go to your social media. They're like, oh wow, this is like a fun place to work, you know, and mm-hmm. quality people want to work for places that are doing those things. Not 100%. When they
yeah.
go on there and then you have nothing posted and it's a post from 20 years ago that says nothing about you. It's just right. a building that you built. Like, that doesn't show that you're building into your team, you know, especially mm-hmm. if you want to continue that. But then, like restaurants, you said, you mm-hmm. know, that's easy because people love food. They love the ranch dipping videos. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. that's just intriguing because in itself, that's entertaining. That's something you would want to do after you get off work. So that's what I always say with social media is like, would you want to watch this after you get off working all day long and looking at this kind of content? Is that something that you would enjoy to watch? You don't want to mm-hmm. just be posting something that nobody's going to be caring about, you know?
Yeah. You've got good quality content on one side.
Right.
But you know, you've touched on targeting an audience, meaning
right.
not necessarily with a paid ad. I don't mean that kind of
right.
targeting, but my goal in on these posts is to make sure that as future people are looking to get hired here,
right.
right? I want to make sure that they can take a look at my feed and go, oh, look, they did a chili cook-off. They took everybody to the Chiefs game. They,
yeah.
you know, whatever thing that is, right?
Yeah.
You're telling future employees, hey, this is a great place to work. We care about our people.
Yeah.
And that's an audience, right? That's a mm-hmm. purpose for a lot of even channels, right?
Yeah.
Where an employee, if they're a good employee, they're going to go scope things out before
right.
they, you know, put
exactly.
in that application. And it's before they put in that application that they're doing it, right?
Yeah.
They're scoping you out and saying, yeah, I don't want to apply there. That
yeah.
doesn't look like they have any fun, or I can't tell anything from here, or it looks like the last time they did something fun was in 2016,
yeah.
right? That's
yeah.
terrible stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it definitely depends on your goal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are like, I want sales. I want ROI. That's when I will lead them towards like the paid, you know.
Yeah.
Versus on this is more, I guess,
good, consistent,
yeah.
long-term, educational, and engaging
yeah.
content.
Oh, engaging too. And like I said, we're funny. I try to be funny with a lot of my clients, and because that's what social media is about. Like, it's about creating a community, and you want people to, like, I love one of my clients because they just lean all in mm-hmm. on it. And those are the ones that really go viral because they're just like, I'll do whatever trend. Let's go all in. And those are fun because they have an actual community where they're like, we can't wait for your next one to drop. Like, we want to see your next video. What are you
yeah.
going to do next? Like, that's fun. And I think as a company, even like you said, their employers or employees, like, they love that because they're like, I work for a company that's has funny viral videos, and like even their families are sharing like videos with them, like, oh my god, I see you in this
yeah,
video
yeah.
go viral, like, that's so cool. Like, they love that. And I this one guy on the site, he was like, I sent it to my mom and she was like, thought it was so cool that I got 1 million views. I was like, that's awesome. Like, I love that, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
let's talk about going viral.
Yeah.
Because you have had a lot of success with getting posts to go viral, getting posts to really get a lot of traction and a lot of visibility. But I'm curious about like the conversation you have with owners and business owners and your clients when, you know, hey, I need to go viral. And you're like, ooh, that's, you know, there's lightning in a bottle that you need to capture there. And it takes more than just saying, okay, we're going to come up with one post one time and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
How do you have that conversation about expectations? And
it is very hard, especially when a lot of your clients have done that. Yeah. I'm not saying every single one has, because like I said, goals are different, for everybody. But I just say, if you want to go viral, if you want to do that, then you need to do certain things that you need to make good content and quality content. And you don't want to just be focused solely on trends. You also want to have a mix of like original audios, usually what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
So interviewing your team, going around doing, I don't know, like what was your first car, deep dive stuff, you know, things like that. It's still personable. And I always say, like, if you want to stick in the personal entertainment category, you're more likely to go viral than if you stick in the education, because that's going to be more of the long game, you know?
Right. Educational content is great, but
it's great.
It's not likely to go viral
in
that same
way. The entertaining stuff is always going to go, is more likely, you know, because that's what people are going to look at. They want to relax. They want to chill at the end of the day. You know, when they get on social media, they're not looking to be told something, you know?
Oh, man, I have to learn after I've been at work all day?
Exactly, after you did all that. Yeah, I think a lot of the times, as entrepreneurs, we want to learn. And so or educational content is stuff that we like. We're like, oh, I love learning about this. Or even like the HVAC guys and all that stuff. They're like, oh, I love watching those videos where they're like doing the wiring or they're doing this. But I'm like, but does your audience that you're trying to target like that stuff? Probably not.
Thank you, Taylor. Yes.
Thank you.
Good.
So I think sometimes we get in our head, because even me, I'm like, ooh, I love this super educational content about this and this and that. But that's not necessarily like what my audience is going to want to see. They're going to want to see like, what is it like working with me? What can I do for them? Things like that. So I think getting out of that space of like maybe what you like versus like what your audience, sometimes that can, that gets them in the mindset, oh, okay, now I understand, like, what is my audience looking at? Probably not what I'm looking at, you know?
Right.
So once you disconnect that, then they can look at it objectively, because I think that's what a lot of social media managers do, is they just do what the client wants, and then the client's sending them videos on DMs or sending them, like, ooh, let's do this video, and it's like, but that doesn't work, like, with your audience.
And bounce it back against the strategy, right?
Right.
Who is our audience? What are we trying to get them to do? And is this on brand for us, or is it not on brand for us? There are some challenges out there we should not participate in.
Yeah, that is true. And we actually had a big, so we had this big Netflix star connect with one of my clients. And we were like, okay, we're really excited, because we're like, we'd love to do a collab. But just looking at their content and the stuff they produce, I recommended like, hey, we don't go forward with this, because I just feel like your type of clients are not going to appreciate that type of content, and that might set us back. Yes, we do funny content, but we don't push the boundaries, you know?
Right.
And so they were like, oh, I'm glad you were here, like kind of being our brand manager at that point, because we would have said yes, and we probably would have done a video, and maybe that would have been bad, you know? And they're like, because it's just a great opportunity, and you're not in that space, so you're not understanding like how that collaboration could negatively affect you, you know, in that world. Even if having control over contracts, what not to say, like doing me coming up like, hey, these are the only things that we would be open to doing, outlining these specific things for them. Nothing outside of those things we would do. And if you're okay with that, or if you're not okay with that, then cool. That's like where our partnership is, you know? And they were just like, no, we want to have creative control, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
But that leaves you vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, so that's
brand safety. Brand safety is a real concern.
It's really big. Yeah.
Making sure you're on strategy, making sure the brand safety pieces are in place is good. I'm curious about those viral trends, like let's talk for a second about the ice bucket challenge, right?
Oh yeah.
Where you know, as a nonprofit CEO, you may say we need the next ice bucket challenge, but if you really take a look at it, right, and there was a lot of good that came from that, a lot of brand awareness that came from that. There are positives, but oftentimes some of those trends where we're seeing, you know, hey, this is viral and we really safety became known issues. For it. Yeah, safety issues for sure. I'm thinking specifically though about like those times where if I participate in this and I'm into the I dump a bucket of water on my head or whatever. Did I really do anything? Did I actually give money? Did I
follow through?
Did I follow through in any way, or did I click like or share or something like that? And I'm like, yep, our job's done. I can wipe my hands of that. We did it. I participated, because you're not giving money for that. And so what is my ROI if I go viral on something is not necessarily this an equal. You're not necessarily winning.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, what's your question? Are you saying?
I don't know if I have a question there. I think it's a really more of just kind of making sure that we
have intention behind that.
Yeah, there needs to be some intentionality. And can we arrange something? Like, if we intend to have something that we think, hey, this could be big, if we start doing this program, it really is just kind of bouncing it back against that strategy and saying, you know, Am I getting donations out of this, or am I not getting donations out of this? Should I expect donations? Should I not expect donations? And you know, to your point earlier, going back to that strategy and saying, hey, does this make sense for us or doesn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, I agree, because I think too, a lot of the things like on social media, people want to join in on or want to do, but it doesn't necessarily fuel their overall goal. So there's so many things out there, even just like with meme culture and I think, what was the last one? Okay, so like here's an example. Like, this isn't really like a trend, but everyone posts like, oh, happy 4th of July or you know, those Canva graphics. But to me, I'm like, what is that doing?
Yeah.
That's just, you're just posting because you feel like you have to.
Mm-hmm.
There's no intention, like. And that's what I was, this new home builder that I just onboarded, they wanted to do a Father's Day post, and that's what they've done in the past. Like, hey, we just post like probably like something graphic or something. I'm like, no, let's do something like, or for 4th of July, not Father's Day. That's what it was. And I was like, let's ask the team, like, what are their plans for the weekend, you know? And then just start that conversation with like your audience. Like, well, what are their plans? Are they going skiing? Are they doing this? Are they just winging it?
Mm-hmm.
Are they just, you know, hey, trying to keep the dog sane enough to not want to like go bark all the time? So like, what is that look
going
like?
For more interaction rather than just a happy whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Just a random post because you feel obligated to do that, you know? And if you feel like, well, like when I onboard my clients, that's the first thing I do. I have like a list of holidays, and then they tell me yes or no if they would like to participate in that. So then we can actually actively work on something for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's instead of just doing, like I said, like just a graphic. Yeah. Let's say, okay, you want to do Father's Day? Let's like celebrate all the dads in there, but let's do something intentional with our content that actually makes it feel like heartfelt, like people actually want to watch that stuff, you know? Or Veterans Day, let's like find a veteran and do a giveaway, or let's do something. Like, we're actually doing content like probably 3 months ahead so that we can plan and we know like what we're going to do for that day. And I think it makes the clients feel good about their content because, like I said, they're not just throwing something random on there. They're actually putting that intention behind their content, and it makes them feel good about their company, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you bring up a great point. I'm curious about like the, how far ahead you plan versus, you know, leaving space for, hey, this just happened, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I do actually both. So usually I'll leave space cause like I said, trends can pop up out of nowhere, but I usually try to get my clients to film once a month, and then we film the month before because it's close enough to where we can kind of keep up with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all ready for the next month. And then we'll have those little pockets like, hey, this thing came up. Do you want to do this? Or I'll shoot them a shoot them a email or something, say, hey, here's this trend. Do you want to like film a little quick video and then send it back to me?
Yeah.
But those happen every once in a while. You don't really have to worry about those things. And if you don't want to do it, it's a trend. So you don't have
to. Yeah, no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
If you
but
don't
it's
get
good
there.
That if you have those, you're not too far out to where now once you got to it, it's like, oh, well, this is kind of outdated by now.
Right,
you know, or you've worked this whole marketing plan over something that's like completely wrong. And now people have totally changed their ideas. Like right now in the restaurant world, it's like martinis and appetizers is like a big thing right now. Like getting into the like girls world and, and stuff like that. They love that right now. So it's like, but in 3 months.
Yeah. Will that be the case? Yeah.
No. So like, why would you want to like plan that off of something that's happening currently right now in this space, because it's summer and like that's just a little bit different. So I just try to keep it 30 days.
Okay.
So that's reasonable. Always my goal. Yeah, 30 days, and it's nice. And some people, they're intimidated by like a whole 30 days, so we'll back it up to 2 weeks and that's fine too. Because usually I'll just have the 30 days and then I'll just send them the 2 weeks. At a time so that it doesn't feel overwhelming, because I understand.
But you know your handle.
Yeah, but
you've
know
got
that it's good to go. Yeah.
Excellent.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Taylor, I think it's probably time to go into the lightning round, if that's okay with
you.
Yeah, are we ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. You have no way to know what I might ask. And this first question is going to be all about you personally.
Okay.
Your favorite social media platform and why?
Definitely Instagram, because I feel like it's centered around community. And recently they've really been digging into what they can do to help small creators. And so I really appreciate them for that versus just looking at the dollar amount, you know, what they're going to get. So I really appreciate that about Instagram.
Interesting. Has it always been Instagram, or did you have other favorites over time that you're just, because Instagram's been around for a minute or two.
Oh, forever. Yeah. I guess I used to like Twitter in high school. Now X, you know,
yes.
But
I'm familiar, but thank you for explaining.
I kind of hate X now because it's just a mess.
Well, that was my next question, is your least favorite media platform and why?
That is my least
it
now. It used to be my favorite, but because I loved the conversations that used to go on there were a little bit more educational, and I would say like more higher quality of conversations, you know. And I would say like Reddit is also one of the ones that is taking over that space.
Yep.
Which I do love Reddit, or
Reddit.
I don't know. Everybody says that, but yeah. So I think, I don't know. Twitter's probably like my, or X or whatever.
Yeah.
It's probably the
least
favorite.
Favorite.
Yeah,
I can agree with you there. Yeah. I can agree with you there. Yeah. The Reddit piece was interesting. It gives me a chance to throw out a couple stats.
Okay.
For Reddit, in looking at them as an ad platform,
yes,
the role that plays in the purchase decision is very much an influencer kind of role, right?
For
where
sure.
I may or may not be the right decision maker for this product or service or whatever, but on Reddit, more of that audience that informs the decision goes there to research and goes there to find more information about whatever. So just an interesting kind of note about, you know, a reminder that every platform has its own, you know, place.
And
there's a time and a place.
They already have built out audiences. You can target so well on there. Like if you're a sneaker brand, they have thousands of sneaker communities on there. And that is something that they have that other people don't, is they have those like built out, maybe Facebook with Facebook groups.
With the groups, yeah.
But that's about it. Like, they have actually, like, communities specifically for one thing. So you could, like you said, use that as an influencer platform. Maybe someone on there can post, or they're, like, a big, you know, admin on that community or something. That is just such, I think, an untapped market, you know, for sure. Because on Instagram, you post something, it's harder, I should say, to target your market on Instagram versus Reddit, you know?
Well, and let's, you know, I'll do the other stat that I have burned into my brain on Twitter X, that the average tweet has a lifespan of like 7 minutes, right? That, unless everything goes wrong, and then it's going to last forever. But 7 minutes. So it's a crowded space. Your message may or may not be seen by anyone. Like it's a challenging place to be.
I
get it. I understand why that would be your least favorite. Next, what company or person really gets it right in the social media world that you look up to and you're like, you've got this, you're doing it.
Oh, There's a lot of people. Let me see.
I can even see the wheels turning. On, I know. Like, I'm every, like, oh, gosh, who do I pick?
I know, because I'm like, there's a lot of
people are
going to
judge me based on who I pick.
For real, that's true. I mean, I feel like the first person that comes in my head or, like, company is, like, Duolingo.
Oh,
just because
yeah?
I feel like that. But I feel like that's also, like, a cop-out answer because I think that's what everybody would say because they're leading that space of entertainment right now. And really pushing the boundaries, and they changed their strategy up, and they're really trying to hit that Gen Z audience, you know? And so they're making that funny content. But it's funny because I think, like, they are hitting the Gen Z, but I think they're also hitting millennials because they are pushing the boundaries. And I think millennials, you know, we're so, like, we grew up on meme culture, you know?
Right.
And Gen Z's, like, not really into the memes. Like, they're like, ew, that gives me the ick or whatever, you know, whatever they say. But I think it's filtering to both. And their subscriptions have, like, skyrocketed since they've changed their strategy and done that funny content. So I would definitely say them. But I think not everybody needs to follow what they're doing.
Right,
so don't go jump on there.
That's right. Your results may vary.
Yeah.
Don't think that this is exactly what you need to do.
Don't go jump on Duolingo's strategy because that is definitely very curated.
Right. I think a lot of people look to Wendy's as like, you're crushing it. But again, it's a crowded marketplace and you're going to be seen for a couple of real good zingers.
And they're in such a different space. Like, they're using social media just as like an entertainment thing. Mm-hmm. They're not really looking for a big ROI. Even with like Red Lobster, I mean, recently they did like that endless
in the shrimp, I think
was
it was
it?
Which caused most of the restaurants in town to go out of business.
It was bad. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just the power of social media right there, is that people, they weren't even following, you know, their content that they post all the time. They were just looking at it as, well, I can gain something out of this, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
And I think like if you focus on building more of a community, then they're less likely, that's a corporate business or a little bit higher up business. So it's a little bit different. But I think if you focus on building a community, they're not going to want to like use you in that way, I guess you could say. They're going to want to respect the boundaries, you know, that you set because you've really set up that community of people.
Yeah.
So I think in that position, it was kind of like a negative and maybe they didn't look at their audience really closely enough. So I don't know really what went on with that.
Gotcha.
But, yeah.
Next question.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite YouTuber?
I don't honestly really watch YouTube that much.
That's an answer in itself. That tells us something.
I really don't watch YouTube that much. I'm more like short form content girl. Yeah. So, but I would say like the first person that comes to my head though, when I think of YouTube is like Mr. Beast. Because I feel like that's everyone's
fairly popular guy.
Yeah. Like his videos are wild. I don't really watch his videos, but I like watching his podcasts. If he's on podcasts or if he goes on certain things, I like watching him outside of his character, I guess you could say.
Oh, sure.
So he's very informational. But outside of that, I mean, more short form content.
Short form stuff
for
you.
Yeah, that's me.
Tell me about, like, if I'm going to put you in the world of TV sitcoms.
Kay.
If you could be any TV sitcom character, who would you want to be?
I'm trying to think.
It can be a little weird because if you're not watching sitcoms, like if
right.
that's not your thing.
Yeah.
Then
okay.
It's
what
not...
I was thinking about, okay, this is probably bad though. I feel like, cause he's not really a good person.
That doesn't.
But it's, you know, Mad Men.
Oh yes. Well, I'm familiar.
You know,
as someone in the advertising industry,
yeah.
I'm familiar with Mad Men.
Right. So, but Don Draper, like I love him, even though he's a pretty bad person, but I just love his character. And I love that show. That's, like, one of my favorite shows. So, and I, like, rewatch it all the time. But also I would say, what's his name? I'm trying to think. You said who would I be,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or it could be just a character you love. Who were you thinking
of? Well, I was thinking about, like, another show I watched, but I'm like, I really am not any of those characters on Shameless.
Oh, okay.
That's
sure.
probably, like, I definitely am not any of those characters, but that's another show I watched.
Good guilty pleasure show to watch.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just love Mad Men. And
got it.
I'm behind, you know, I feel like, because Mad Men came out so long ago, but I just love that show. I wish it would. Something else would take that space,
right,
you know,
right.
and it just stinks.
A spinoff or something that keeps
but
that living forever.
I don't watch, like, I try not to watch too much TV, so yeah.
What is a social media trend that's out there that you're like, okay, we're done. No more of that. The 15 minutes of fame are over. I no longer want to see one of these things ever again.
Oh my gosh, I already know. It's like the, of course I do this because of this. Mm-hmm. Of course I...
I'm a Kansas Cityan. Of course I...
Yeah, go to the Chiefs game every whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've been over that for a while, and I think it's just like... It keeps coming. It's like never ending. I feel like at first I thought it was just going to be a trend. It was going to end. But then I saw like the, it's funny because like, it's like the young kids all do it. And then you can see like, then the millennials start to do it. And then it's like the mm-hmm. older people start to, and then it just like never ends because it's always just like trickling down.
That's
like
right.
How people like finally get to it or finally get the time to do the videos, you know, because like these kids have all the time in the world. They're getting on it instantly, you
right
know?
Right. And by the time it makes it to Gen X, Gen Z people are going yeah. oh man, I can't believe I ever did that last week when
exactly.
it was cool for me last
exactly.
week.
Yeah. Those ones though, I've been hating those because I feel like there's such a better way. And then I will say there's a okay, you know the other ones, the transition videos where it's like the bull hitting you or like the water splash
yep,
and then you're supposed to do that. I think people are going wrong with, those are great, but they're doing the same things. Mm-hmm. Like there was one guy and he kind of switched it up. And instead of like the water getting splashed on him, he was like, oh, so you thought like water would get splashed on me because that's what everybody does. He's like, but I am not like everybody, you know? And so he like positioned himself in that way.
I
loved it. So that, and it got a lot of views because it was doing the opposite of what everybody's mm-hmm. doing. But I think that trend. That's going to go out, the transitions. I think it's easy to do. So I think people are doing it because it's easy.
It's a good, easy template. But yeah. if you're not really contributing something that's
if you're
better
not doing something
or different,
exactly, then don't do it at all.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Let me, because that's you've given some advice there as well. It's a nice bonus piece of advice. As a business owner, what advice would you give the year one in business you, like if you could go back and talk to yourself in as you were just starting the company, you're saying, hey, I'm going to go do this on my own. I'm going to start this business. What advice would you give yourself back then if you could travel through time?
Ooh, I think I would say like, don't stop. Like when, and not that I did stop, but just when you do have those clients come in and everything, like keep on the momentum versus like, okay, I need to fix all my business systems and slow down a bit and do all this first before I take the next step. No, just keep going because that stuff will come, mm-hmm. you know? And especially as you get more income and you get more clients and just being out there more, people are willing to be a little bit more forgiving about those things if you produce great content or, well, in my space, if you produce great quality and maybe you don't have those back end things, but you're still giving them the results. You might not have everything together. You might not have like your invoicing, you know, perfect and all that stuff. Don't focus on those things so much that you lose like what you're good at, you know, because you can outsource those things once you get to a certain point. And so I think I was like so focused on that. Like, I think a lot of business owners, when they first start, they're like, I need to have this. I need to have this. I need to have this perfect CRM system. And mm-hmm. I need to have this. I'm like, you don't even have clients. How do you have a CRM system?
Right. Who are you keeping track of?
Yeah. Like I have four clients. So like I need to keep them in my CRM. It's like, you don't need to be spending the money on that. You don't need to be doing that. So I think that I wish like I would have just be a people person, get out there, go do entrepreneur events more, just focus on what you're good at, you know, and the rest will come. So, yeah.
Good advice. Solid advice. Yeah. And with that, I'm going to take you out of the lightning round.
Okay.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You survived.
I did.
Tell people where they can find you if they want to know more information about who you are, what you do. Where should they go?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram a lot. Kai, K-A-I, Strategic Media. And then I also have a website, KaiStrategicMedia.com. So you can become a client on there or on my Instagram, slide in my DMs. So, yeah.
There it is. Taylor Roberts, owner and founder of Kai Strategic Media. Thanks for being with us today.
All right. Thank you so much.
And that is our show. Thanks to our guest, Taylor Roberts, and thank you for listening to the Small Business Miracles podcast. Remember to subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and review, drop us a line on the website at eagadv.com if you have any thoughts. Until then, we'll be out here helping entrepreneurs with another Small Business Miracle.